Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for all your children that are on here and those that may be listening later on. We thank you, Lord, for the power that is in the name of Jesus, the name like none other name. Thank you, Lord. We give you all praise and glory. We also thank you for your word, because we know that the entrance thereof brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And as we share fellowship this morning, we rejoice in the hope, not only of eternal life, but the fact that you are with us daily to redeem us from destruction. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And this is part of our series. Welcome, everyone, on the foiling of the devil's plans, throwing all these things at us. And we've been covering multiple topics. And the intent is that we must overcome. So this is our Overcome series. And today is part two of the sorrow and mourning. And what does God give us instead? He gives us gladness and joy. We talked about, you know, strategy yesterday of breaking that by doing two things: crying out unto the Lord and praising his name at the same time. The power of crying out to the Lord is seen throughout the scriptures. You know, anytime people cry out to the Lord, in fact, even the children of Israel, in their rebellious state, multiple times throughout their journeys in the Old Testament, you know, Bible would say that even when God was angry with them and gave them up to, you know, their enemies, and the enemies were beating up on them, but every time they cried unto the Lord, he would hear them and save them out of their distresses. You know, so it's a good lesson for us to learn to know our go-to place when we are distressed, and when there is sorrow and mourning and grieving and things that come upon us. It's not only the loss of a loved one that brings sorrow. It's all the things, negative things that can happen to us. You know, illness, loss of revenue and loss of job, loss of, you know, peace in different areas can bring sorrow of heart. We can just be, you know, many times just burdened and grieved. And we've been covering many of these things through this series. You know, but we want to make sure that everyone knows that when you cry unto the Lord, he will save you out of all your distresses. The psalmist said, you know, that I cried unto the Lord and he saved me, you know, and so forth. You know, plus, you know, he wrote about the things that happened to the children of Israel in Psalm 107. He said, well, in verse 6, you know, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. You know, so crying unto the Lord is number one. It's a, you know, one of a two-part remedy to getting out of distress and grieving and sorrow and things that may come upon us because of burdens that the enemy put on us. You know, second part is praising the Lord. And as it was said in the room yesterday, well, if we find it hard to praise the Lord when we are going through distress, maybe we haven't cried unto him yet. You know, so first, you cry out unto the Lord. You know, it's very hard to praise the Lord if you didn't cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Pour out your heart unto him. You know, not in complaining against his goodness or lack thereof, which the devil will say, well, the Lord's forsaking you and all of that. No, but just calling out for his mercy. And, you know, sometimes also we have to acknowledge our own shortcomings. And this is an area where sometimes we don't do well. You know, we always blame everything else, but, you know, we forget our own issues. It's like, you know, all the way in the Garden of Eden at the beginning, everybody blamed somebody else, you know. So Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil. I mean, the serpent. Everybody just blamed someone else. They won't take responsibility. You know, the story of Esau and Jacob. I mean, Esau blamed Jacob for stealing his birthright. But he was the one that sold it, you know. So he sold his birthright, you know, for food. But when he found out later on that he lost it, he now blamed his brother for stealing it. Well, you blame yourself for selling it in the first place. So, you know, people have to take responsibility. You know, we sometimes we put ourselves in situations where we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit might have been nudging us this way or that way. We don't listen, and then stuff happens that are not pleasant. Then we blame God for it, or we blame someone else. But it was, I mean, you had the opportunity to have listened to the Lord, you know, and done things his way. So when we come to the Lord and crying out to the Lord, we need to acknowledge our sins and our faults before him. There, you know, rather than trying to be self-righteous and so forth, you know. The prayer, a prayer of contrition, goes a long ways. He said the Lord, you know, is mindful of those who have a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. You know, when we come into the presence of the Lord with contrition in our hearts and say, Lord, be merciful unto me. Lord, look at my plight and help me. Yeah, you can call the Lord's attention to all that you're going through. Not that he doesn't already know, but, you know, it will. Divided, the scripture commands us to tell the Lord, cast your burden upon him. Tell him of what you are going through. Don't blame the Lord for any of it stuff. You know, either things happen to us out of, you know, our own mistakes, or the devil put things on us, or stuff just happens. But it's not, we can't blame God for it. But the Lord will help us if we know how to properly call upon his name. But then remember to praise him. You can praise your way out of your situations, but you won't be able to do that until you have properly cried out unto the Lord. And we have seen people that used the praising of the Lord. You know, someone especially like David always knew how to praise the Lord out of his situation. And of course, you know, Jehoshaphat, he figured that out too. Knew how to praise the Lord out of all these things that he was facing when he was overwhelmed. And he knew that there was no way out. He'd say, well, but our eyes are upon you. We do not have any power against this great company. They, you know, some of those people would say, but, you know, we can turn to the Lord. And our eyes are upon you, you know, and that's the beginning of your redemption and deliverance right there. And you can turn your eyes onto the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, here's how the devil, David, when the devil come against him in so many different ways, and different things come upon him and his enemies and so on. Here's how he said it. In Psalm 18, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Well, I'll say, so shall I be saved from my troubles. So shall I be saved from my sorrows. So shall I be saved from mourning. And, you know, he said, look, why do I go mourning, you know, all day long? My bones cleave unto me and so forth. I mean, he had his fair share of troubles, but he always knew where to go to. I mean, always. But every time, even in the midst of all of that, there was not a single place where he talked about crying out unto the Lord that he did not immediately, you know, talk about praising the Lord. You know, for instance, in Psalm 42, he said, look, you know, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? I mean, after all, I mean, you are a believer, and you look at all these calamities that are befalling you. Where is your God then? You know, people might say, and so forth. And he said, look, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I'm reading Psalm 42 in case you're trying to follow along. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, you know, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. But in the midst of all of that, you know, he had sorrow of heart and a lot of things going on. But yet he, you know, dragged himself into it, you know, go out in the house of the Lord. He always said, look, I'm glad. Anytime they say it's time to go to the house of the Lord, and even though he was going through in his heart, there was sorrow. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? You know, but in the midst of all of that, he would encourage himself and always find a way to praise the Lord. He said, look, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. See? So he always found a way, you know, to praise the Lord. Always. Always praise the Lord, no matter what he is going through. He said, look, even when everything around me going the opposite direction, why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy as with a sword in my bones? My enemies reproach me. They say daily unto me, where is thy God? He said, well, you know, encourage himself again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Always finding a way to praise the Lord. Now, let me read a few more verses out of Psalm 18. How? Because he knew very well how to cast his burdens unto the Lord, but more than that, he knew how to praise the Lord. Let's see the way that the Lord would respond. You know, this was, you know, a great revelation in the life of David. He said, look, when I call on the Lord, he said, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. He said again, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. So this man, you know, sorrow all around him. Snares of death, you know, around him and so forth. But in my distress, so he knew where to go. I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, you know, and the Lord heard me out of his holy temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills were moved and were shaking because the Lord was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Look at how God responded to David's cry. Because, you know, David was a man that knew how to praise the Lord. He would never just cry out to the Lord and leave it at that. He would always, you know, even in the midst of his crying out, he would say, the Lord is my rock and my shield, my fortress and my high tower. In him will I trust. You know, I mean, he would just continue to call upon the attributes of salvation and the attributes of deliverance. He said, the Lord is my salvation. It become my song. you know, I mean, his right hand and his holy arm got him the victory. He pulled me out. I mean, he would just be telling God all these things. Yeah, you tell it to God like that. Definitely God will, you know, get up and do something about it, the situation. And so the Lord, you know, I told, thundered in the heavens. The highest gave his voice. Stones, hailstones and coals of fire were sent. The Lord sent his arrows and scattered his, you know, David's enemies. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them, you know, and so on. He sent from above and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. They were too strong for me. Those who prevented me in the day of my calamity, you know. But he said, look, the Lord was my stay. He brought me out. And he always will find a way to give glory to God and talk about the Lord's goodness. So, you know, if you learn how to do two things. One, cry out to the Lord with all your heart. Pour out your heart up to the Lord when you are facing sorrow, distress, mourning, grief, and all kinds of things. We must cry unto the Lord, and then we must praise him also at the same time. And remember his word. Hallelujah. Remember his word and quote his word in your prayers. You know, there was a good promise, you know, that we read yesterday out of Psalm 126. You know, he said, you know, they that go forth, you know, with weeping, you know, bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves with them. You know, so when you cry out unto the Lord, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So that's what we must do. Cry to the Lord, but remember his promise that you will come back with joy. So your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 16, verse 20. He said, look, right now the world may be rejoicing and you may be sorrowful and stuff. But he said, look, your sorrow will be turned into joy. Praise the Lord. Well, let me give a few more scriptures, just a quick roundup today, and then we will open it up for discussion. Isaiah chapter 53. This is the assurance that, you know, for us to know what the Lord did for us regarding sorrow and grief. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. You know, now this is Isaiah prophesying about the Christ even before he came, of all the things that the Lord would do for us, you know, and many of the things that he said, like surely he was wounded for our transgressions, you know, many of the things that he said was looking back now. We can see that indeed that was the case. Praise the Lord. Looking at, you know, what Christ did for us on that cross and how he bore all of our iniquities, our transgressions, and even paid for us to get peace. So let's read it again. I know you've read these things before, but consider it again this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, he says that the Lord was wounded. Surely he has borne our griefs. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Carried away our sorrows. Well, if the Lord has done that, then why are we still carrying them on our heads? Let's lay that back upon him. You know, he said, look, he was smitten, but not for his own reasons. He was smitten for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, all the beating that he took was for you to have peace. And then the stripes that came from those beating was for your healing. Many times we talk about his stripes healed us, but we forget that the beating was for our peace. You know, you were beating, he was beating up badly because of your peace. That chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. The stripes that were left on his body from that beating brought us healing. But the beating in the first place was for our peace. So, you know, anytime you are thinking of, you know, Christ healing us, well, remember, he paid for your peace as well. My peace I give unto you, Jesus said in John 14 and 27. Not as the world gives, you know, but I give you something that the world cannot give you, he said. Because he wants us to have, you know, peace. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled, he said. Neither let it be afraid. He wants you to have peace and joy. You know, so we got to remember that, you know, as we think of how to deal with sorrow and mourning. You know, here are a few more scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. When God has given you the victory through your process of sorrow and so forth, and your head is now lifted up, well, remember to encourage others as well. That's what the scripture says. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, you know, that we may also be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also does our consolation abound by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So, you know, as we get comfort and strength and encouragement from the Lord, you know, be sure, you know, to encourage others as well. That's why sometimes when we give testimony of how the Lord pulled us through whatever it was that we went through, it'll help someone else, because that's what it's, you know, designed to do. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about rejoicing in the Lord. It's something, it's an action, it's a deliberate choice that you need to make. Am I going to go with heaviness of spirit, or am I going to rejoice? There are circumstances that will bring heaviness of spirit, but you can also choose to switch gears into rejoicing. Rejoicing is an admonition, but again, it's almost like a commandment too. You know, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. So it's like an exhortation, an admonition, but it almost sounds like a commandment too. You know, rejoice in the Lord. I mean, you know, take action in curating your own happiness, basically. Don't leave these things up to chance. And look, if our happiness is based upon things upon the earth, well, that's why people go into depression. People go into depression because they set their affections on things on the earth. You know, Colossians chapter 3 will tell you that. He said, look, verses 1 and 2. If ye be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, when people set their affection on things on the earth and those things get taken away from them, then they go into depression. But see, things that are above can never be taken from you. You know, so if you set your affection on things above, you're less likely to go into depression when you lose physical or natural things. You know, those things are there for us to use, but not for them to use us. You know, don't, you know, let anything on earth have power over you to bring you into, you know, depression. People lose something and then all of a sudden, you know, go into depression. The things that God gives are your joy. Don't let the devil take it away from you. And don't let the devil, you know, he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. He always tries to do that. But you've got to fight for what you own and completely, you know, make up your mind that you are going to rejoice. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3 and 16. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, you know, praising the Lord, singing psalms and spiritual hymns and spiritual songs. All of these things are things that we must do daily basis. And you've heard testimonies of how, you know, the singing, the praise of the Lord can break that. Even in the prayer room earlier this morning, a sister was talking about when she was in depression for a long time, and her sister advised her to start praising the Lord. You know, and this was a medically certified depression because she was under medical treatment. And, you know, and then, you know, it was a struggle at first, but when she began to, you know, praise the Lord like she was advised, you know, after some time, she said the Lord broke that thing, broke that depression. And she said, you know, when she told the, those who were treating her for the depression that the Lord had broken, they didn't believe it. But when they tested her medically, they found out it was broken. It was already gone. Praise the Lord. She gave that testimony just this morning in the prayer room before we came here, you know, and, you know, that's powerful. And I'm like, wow, yeah, now that's what I'm talking about. You know, praising the Lord. And she gave the credit to praising the Lord. And that's what we were just talking about just yesterday. And I don't even think she was in our room yesterday. But she gave that testimony this morning in the 15-minute prayer room earlier. And I said, wow, you know, that'll go right along with, you know, the rest of the message that I was going to bring today. You know, so, you know, this is true. The power of praise can break a lot of things, you know, and depression, heart trouble, sorrow and mourning. You know, when we know how to praise the Lord, you know, the Lord will give us the victory. Brother Neil Frisby wrote a powerful script. We call them the scrolls, you know, and, well, he called them the scrolls. You know, and they numbered them. This one he wrote on called scroll number 70, the dynamic subject of praise, he called it. The rewarder of youth. He said, praise is the secret place of thunder wherein the Lord answers you back. By praising him, you will receive honey out of the rock, satisfying your soul and giving you a healthy body. He said, praise will drive out infirm spirits and loosen the bones. He said, heart trouble will not overcome you, and even if you should have it, it will leave you by praising the Lord. He said, praising the Lord continually will make your heart happy and your body will be joyful in health. Your eyes will sparkle, he said, and your vision will be plainer. By eating lightly, he dropped that there. That was a word of wisdom. Eating lightly and praising the Lord, you know, that combination, he said, will intensify these things even more. Also, the dullness of ears will hear sharply. Even your complexion, your hair and your lips, through praising the Lord, will take on a beautiful glow. He said, praising the Lord in intervals will drive back all demon powers from you, you know, and you will have peace and rest. Hallelujah. By praising him often, he said, you will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory, whether you can see it all the time or not, but you'll begin to feel it by the glory of his presence. And demon powers cannot break through this covering very easily as long as you praise him in confidence. See all the things that praise can do? Praising renews the you. It gives strength, it gives faith, and allows the Holy Spirit to speak. Praise exalts the Most High. That's right. And when we do that, he said, it allows the Spirit of God to flow through us, even providing a ministry for each of us according as the Spirit wills it in our own life. Also, even prosperity, he said, is as close as one sleeps if you know how to continually praise the Lord. No matter what confronts you, you will win. Amen. He said, a person that knows how to praise the Lord, no matter what confronts them, they will win. A kingly anointing will be present. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that he wrote in these things. He even said that, look, praise is the guardian of the soul and the protector of your body. Wow. Praise is the guardian of your soul and the protector of your body. So when your soul is famished, well, let's read what the psalmist said about that in Psalm 102. There were times when his soul was famished, and when he felt all alone, when gloom and depression and, you know, burdens and different things set in, well, he poured out his heart and he called it out too. You know, and he said, look, there are times when my days are consumed like the smoke. Psalm 102 verse 3. And my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart was smitten and withered like the grass. I even forget to eat my bread. Now you talk about sorrow. You talk about grief. You know, I forget to eat my bread by reason of the voice of my groaning. Even my bones cleave to my skin. I mean, this guy, you know, he was emaciated, you know, through, you know, just can't eat. Sorrow. Say, I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl in the desert. You know, I feel like all of these things. You know, I watch and I'm as a sparrow alone on the housetop. He felt all alone. My enemies reproach me all day long. They that are mad against me have sworn against me. I've eaten ashes like bread, mingled my drink with weeping. You know, and because of indignation and all the things come up against me, my days are like a shadow that declineth. You know, he said, but thou, Lord, shall endure forever. See, he'll drop down. No matter all the stuff that he says, he will always drop down and praise the Lord. He said, but thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. He said, you know. And he said, look, thou shalt arise, O Lord, and favor us. Well, it is set time to favor your people, and your servants will take pleasure in the Lord, and so forth. And he said, the heathen shall also fear the name of the Lord. And, you know, he always has something to say, despite all of the stuff that he's going through. He said, this shall be written for the generation to come, and the people that shall come later, that shall be created, shall praise the Lord. So he will always bring in praise, no matter what he was going through, and declare the name of the Lord, praise him, and so forth. He always says, you know, so Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's learn to cry out to the Lord and praise the Lord. You know, like I said, I want to just give a very brief follow-up today. One or two more verses that I will read, and then we're going to close this section. In Revelation 21, verse 4, this also goes with the scriptures we read yesterday in Isaiah 35:10 and Isaiah 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return, you know, and come with singing. Shall return unto Zion. He said, look, you know, God will wipe away tears. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads and so forth. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. So let me read these two scriptures back to back. First, I will read Isaiah 51:11. Then I will read Revelation 21:4. You know, and then we will use that to pray over the room today. Isaiah 51:11. A shorter version of it is also in Isaiah 35:10. But here's Isaiah 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And it shall come with singing unto Zion. Well, that's your place. And everlasting joy shall be on your head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. So that means that your sorrow shall be turned into joy, saith the Lord. Amen. Now, listen to this in the book of Revelation 21. After all said and done, this is how it ends. You know, John has been seeing visions of things to come, the glory of the Lord, you know, and the things that the Lord is doing to wrap all of this up. You know, he said, look, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21, verse 1. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I saw that the sea had even departed. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. You know, neither shall there be any more pain. And any of these things that brought pain to your heart, pain to your body, pain to your emotions, say that God's going to remove them all, for the former things are passed away. And the Lord said, behold, I make all things new. I am Alpha and Omega. And when he puts a signature like that upon it, you can take that to eternity. He will wipe away your tears. You can quote this scripture for yourself, even now. Hallelujah. You know, because look, whatever the Lord said he would do even in the future, he can do even now. You know, because with him, the future is past. The past is present. Everything is the same to the Lord. You know, and, you know, anything we see in the scripture, we can latch onto it. And prophetically, you know, we can claim anything that we see in the scriptures for ourselves, even now, praise the Lord. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, you know, let's read one verse here to give us assurance that even if it looks like it's future, as far as the Lord is concerned, it's already done. Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 15 says, that which has been, that means the past, is now. So the past is present. And that which is yet to be, hallelujah, has already been. So the future is already past, as far as God is concerned. And God required even that which is past, you know. So If you see anything that's promised, if you can believe it, it's kind of like the Syrophoenician woman. It was God's mind somewhere down the line to bring in the, Gentiles. But it wasn't yet time because Jesus said, well, it's not yet time. I can't, take what's the children's and give it to dogs right now. I'm not sent to do that, but to the house of, Israel. But the Lord already said concerning Christ, it is a little thing that you should be salvation to only the house of Israel. I will make you to be also salvation to the ends of the earth. And Christ knew that. But it wasn't time. But this woman, she pierced the veil. And that's the only way I can say it. To pierce the veil of time. Even though it was said, well, it's not yet time. Well, yeah, this woman said, well, time or not, I can get something right now. Praise the Lord. So any promise that we see in these scriptures, remember, there's a scripture right here in Isaiah 49. And the Holy Spirit said, read it. And he said in verse 6, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Israel and to restore the preserved of Israel. That's Christ knew that. I will also give thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou may be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So it wasn't yet time for the Gentiles to come in, but they were going to come in. But this woman, she pierced the veil of time. Now, so any promise you see, even Revelation 21 and verse 4, where somebody say, well, yeah, that's for hereafter. Well, maybe. But if you have faith, you can believe the Lord even now. You can pierce the veil. And you can pierce the veil of time. And, faith can collapse the future into now. That's it. If you have that kind of faith, you collapse the future. It's nothing future if you have faith. You have it right now. Praise the Lord. God can bring you into the place where he wipe away your tears, even now. Right now, wipe away your tears. Right now, you can return to a place of joy, and a place of gladness. I'm going to pray over the room for God to turn our sorrows into joy. But you must be a collaborator with God in that process. You must play a part. The part that you must play is what we have described today. Cry out unto the Lord when you are facing all these situations that burn in your heart and bring sorrow and distress and mourning and all of that. Cry out unto the Lord. Pour out your heart unto him. Pour out your bitterness, your complaint and everything. Pour it out to the Lord. Not complain against the Lord. Can complain against the situation. Pour it out. and so forth. But remember to praise him. And if you can mingle that with praise, the answer will be quicker in coming. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's in the room today. That listen to these and those that will listen later on. May we realize that it is God's will and his declaration for us. Say, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. According to John 16 and 20. And Lord, you said that the children, the ransom of the Lord, will return to their place with joy and gladness. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and mourning will flee away. Father, I pray that sorrow and mourning will begin to flee away from the lives of your children. And the scripture says we must be intentional in rejoicing in the Lord. I pray also, Lord, according to Psalm 126 that we read, as we cry unto the Lord with our tears of faith, it shall be turned into a harvesting of joy. The sorrow, he said, he that goeth forth sowing tears shall definitely reap with joy. And as we sow our prayers of faith, even though they may be mingled with sorrow of heart and everything, we have faith that it will be turned into a harvesting of joy. And now, the word of God has said, He will wipe away all tears from your eyes. Behold, I make all things new. I wipe away your tears. And I bring you to a place of joy. There shall be no more pain, no more sorrow. It's coming fully, you know, the new heavens and new earth. But even now, we can get a glimpse of that as we begin to praise the Lord. Enable us, Lord, to cry out to you with all our heart and then to praise you with all our heart as well. And we thank you because you can break that power of sorrow and give us joy. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. In Jesus' name. Now, there be some of you here today that are going through. And let me encourage you this morning that the word of the Lord to you is that your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And then you can begin to rejoice. The moment that Jehoshaphat heard that the Lord was going to fight for him, he began to rejoice. The Bible says he worshipped. And commanded all of Israel also to worship. And he began to gather the people that knew how to praise the beauty of holiness. Now that today you've heard the word of the Lord, that the Lord will turn your sorrow into joy, let's begin to worship. Let's begin to praise the Lord. And the Lord will do even as he has said. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.